T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Spike Eskin in 10 minutes at 12:30 in studio with us. I'll tell you who will not be in studio with us in 10 minutes or at any time the next year. He's no longer a coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. How about that Corey Unlin, John? How about that? That was a surprise. Corey Unlin, defensive coordinator now for, who was it? Is it the Vikings?
Lions.
The Lions. So a lot of people wanted him out of here on the basis of cornerbacks, you know, not developing well enough, not turning around, playing the ball and all that. And I always struggle with knowing, is it the position coach's fault or is it the player's fault and he just doesn't have the right group of guys to work with? But here's what we do know. Corey Unlin will not be the, you know, defensive backs coach for the Eagles anymore. Were you surprised to see him get elevated, John, to that role? I feel like it kind of came out of nowhere.
He's sort of been a guy we're told is a great coach, and he's had all this success in this league. I'm not terribly upset.
Well, I think most Eagles fans aren't.
Right. Maybe the Lions got one over on everyone, and he'll be great for them. But I feel like new eyes again in these coaching meetings and whatnot will help, and we can now hopefully find the best possible idea smith out there to make us better.
Well, we shall say. I was surprised it happened. 888-729-9494. Let's talk to Josh in Manayunk. What's going on, Josh?
Joe, there's a part of me that absolutely agrees with you with regard to getting rid of Ben Simmons, but I don't think he's changing, like John says. And I would love to see Brett Brown, I think the process was the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time, all right? You don't tank for losing. If you're a competitor in life and in sports, you don't do what they did.
Well, I disagree with you, but go ahead.
But since they did that, all right, Ben Simmons isn't going to change, all right? So I firmly believe if you actually get Brett Brown a player that you can rely on late in games and draw up a play and say, hey, we've got, this is one option, this is another option, and you've got five guys you can actually rely on to score the ball, that's not on a fast break or off a loose ball, then you might actually you might see the type of coach that Brett Brown could be. You know, I think Brett Brown's, honestly, I'm fed up with both of them. I don't think there's an offensive structure. I think Al Horford looks out of place when both him and Embiid and Simmons are all on the floor.
Yeah, because they're all three of them are out of whack, and it always goes back to Ben. And I agree with you, Ben. I mean, you're essentially saying Ben's the main problem, and I agree. But what I'm telling you is I would get rid of the coach before I would get rid of the supremely talented player. And I'm getting close. I want to be really clear, Josh. I'm getting really close to wanting to get rid of Ben Simmons. I'm not opposed to it. But I would get rid of the coach first.
I just think it's just delaying the inevitable. I think you're going to lose value, like John's saying. Get value right now. I would love, when I heard Drew Holiday was open for a trade, bring back Drew Holiday, and if you can get Brandon Ingram for Ben Simmons, let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Well,
you know?
How about that? It would be back to that draft.
My movie, real quick. Primal Fear, the end of Primal Fear when Ed Norton's character.
Absolutely. Great answer.
A really good answer.
Primal Fear ending is a magnificent answer. Josh, appreciate that phone call. Let's go to Steve, who's with us. What's up, Steve?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, bold prediction, man. I think Alshon Jeffrey getting traded to the Bills this offseason. I think Greg Ward can fill that slot that we've been asking Nelson Aguilar to do all year. I do believe that.
Well, now what makes you say Alshon and the Bills? What's up with that?
Because they have Josh Allen, and he has his accuracy issues and stuff like that, and it would help them, I think, a lot to take a gamble on an older guy who's more of a possession receiver. I think. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
All right, fair enough.
And another thing, I know it's fake news, but I got excited when I saw it this morning that Brian Dawkins was going to be our secondary coach, our defensive backs coach.
Where the heck did you see that?
It was a fake
report. I saw it on Facebook, but I later confirmed it was fake news. But I got excited, man. That would be awesome.
Now, did you confirm it, or did you confirm someone else confirming it? I'm just making fun. I'm making fun of reporters. Like when ESPN will say, our reporter has confirmed the report of the other reporter. No, I'm just playing with you. Steve, Brian Dawkins will not be the Eagles' defensive back.
No.
Man, let's make it happen, though, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Steve, thanks for the phone call. And with that, Steve drops the mic. He doesn't have an answer for something shocking in a movie. Now, I think Doc, I mean, look, who the heck knows, but he went down the be involved in the organization path. For I guess it was 2 years or 3 years leading up to the start of the 2018 season. Mm-hmm. And he stepped away. And, I guess he's probably done with that. I mean, look, if you're Brian Dawkins, that is an incredible commitment. And these, you know, coaches, I'm talking non-head coaches, don't make a ton of money relative to NFL money. And so, like, if I'm Brian Dawkins, I'm just sitting on my millions and get involved in whatever initiative I want to get involved in, not be a position coach for the Eagles. That's me. Some guys do it. Man, God bless Patrick Ewing, who sat on an NBA bench for like 15 years as an assistant. I think it's wonderful. Shows how much he wanted to become a head man, never did in the pros. Obviously got the Georgetown job, and you can do that, but you got to really want that. You got to really commit to that.
Yeah. And it's a lifestyle.
Yes.
I mean, that is there is no time to do what you want to do.
Totally.
And I think Doc is very involved in a lot of other ways.
A lot of other stuff.
Where he would not have the time to do the good things he's doing out there where he's a coach.
Probably doesn't have enough interest to, you know, commit that level of time. That's the way I say it. Let's go to Jeff in Camden. Jeff, you're on WIP.
Hey, Cameron, what's up? What's up, Richie?
It's all good, Jeff.
Yo, man, you guys are the complete opposite of what I would think you were to be. Like, Richie was a punishing fullback, right? And he's this zen, got to calm Joe DeCamera guy down. And John DeCamera is just insane. But
John DeCamera is insane.
John DeCamera. Jeff, I'm like, for those
he
who
is
never,
insane.
For those
Joe
who have never seen me.
I'm sorry, Joe DeCamera.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like Coach
O
of Oregon. I'm a big, barrel-chested, you know, tough guy. That's what I am.
You're Bobby Knight.
Yeah, I'm Bobby Knight.
Knight.
I'm Bobby Knight.
Coach O of Oregon, did you say?
Not Oregon, of LSU.
Yeah.
Coach O of LSU. Did I say Oregon? I had too many O's in my mind. I love Coach O, by the way. All right, Jeff, go ahead. Talk to me. What do you got?
So the cheaters. So we got the cheaters down in Houston, right? They just sent a message out to the world. Go ahead and cheat and win the actual game that you're cheating in because you won't be punished till 2 years later. So just do what you got to do and then your punishment will come later.
Well, how about this? And the players don't even get punished.
Yeah. And you just talk about it. We have a mediation. We have a worldwide mediation, and all is well again. You know, we'll sing a song. You know, we are the world, and hold hands. And these guys just get to cheat and go off with the spoils of their cheating.
Yeah. No, you're right, man. And I'll tell you what. And Jeff, here's the deal: these guys, the players, had been suspended, and if it was without pay, some of these players would have lost, you know, $5-10 million, depending. A 50-game suspension, a 20-game suspension. 100-game suspension, like, that would have hit them. And that would have been without pay. And instead, these guys get no suspension. They get all their pay. Crazy,
yeah,
man.
Our 2008 Phillies didn't need to cheat. They just punched your lights out with lights out lids.
There you go.
At the end. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
The shocking movie, man.
Yep.
And now that people haven't seen it, and I wouldn't suggest that you watch it because it's the only movie I've returned and wanted to fight somebody for giving me. It's a movie called Old Boy with Josh Brolin. Anybody seen that?
I have not.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yo, at the end, he found out what he was doing was the worst thing that you can do.
All right, Jeff. If it's the worst thing you can do, that's not a good thing. Jeff, entertaining phone call. Keep the calls coming, my man.
Take it easy, my man.
Appreciate the call for sure. 888-729-9494. Let's go to Kenny in Downingtown. Hey, Ken.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Ken.
Hey, I just wanted to call. I don't know if it's a question or not, but every team this year is just, it gets our hopes up high. The Phillies, we were going to the World Series within a couple weeks of the season. They're out. The Eagles, I mean, even Dittinger was saying how great the team was. It's the best practice they've ever had. They go out, and now the Sixers are doing the same exact
thing. Yeah, some downturn lately.
I mean,
yep.
What the heck is going on in Philadelphia?
Well, you know what, man? So it's better than it was about 4 years ago when all the teams stunk, but expectations have risen and the teams have regressed.
What's worse, getting your hopes up high or knowing that they stink in the very beginning?
Well, I'd rather have a shot and have some fun, but it's disappointing to see that the teams are not. Now, obviously, the Flyers are playing a little above the expectation, they're hovering around a playoff spot. But, man, the other three have all been below the expectation level in their last campaign. That's
exactly
quite clear. Kenny, give me something shocking in a movie.
All right, how about when you find out that Bruce Willis wasn't dead?
It's already been said. Give me another one.
Was dead.
In the sixth. How about Witness or what's his name that he can actually walk at the end of the movie?
You get one more chance, Kenny. We got a 3-strike rule. One more.
How about when Charlie gets to win the chocolate factory?
All right, Charlie wins the chocolate factory. It's not that shocking. What is shocking, though, is how it happens when, you know, you lose, right? And you get kind of, Gene Wilder gets kind of mean there for a little bit. I'll tell you something shocking. You want a children's movie shocking?
Show the dark side.
When Kelly Leak is thrown out at home plate at the end of the Bad News Bears.
That is shocking.
That is shocking.
It is a shock.
Goes all the way around. You're thinking, oh, man, he's going home. He's going to score. But alas, it did not happen. All right, let's turn our attention. We're 76ers Hoops. And we welcome in, of course, the maestro of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, the program director here at this fine radio station, Mr. Spike Eskin. How are you, Spike?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Spike, we got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing fine other than 76ers aggravation.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with? Last night's game, or do you want to start with big picture?
Wait a minute. I have to pull the curtain back a bit here. Did you do that as a joke?
Yes.
Okay. Before, Joe asked me to come on. And I say to him right before they go in there, hey, what do you want to lead with? Just so I know what I'm talking about. And he's like, oh, you want me to make you lunch too? And I was like, Joe, I just want to know what I'm talking about.
He asked me, do you want to start big picture or do you want to start about last night's game? I'm like, dude, what do you need here?
I just want to know what I'm talking about.
You want me to hold your hand when you go to the bathroom? I mean, we're talking Sixers hoops. How complicated is it?
God forbid I prepare.
Let's start with this, Mike.
All right.
Brett Brown and Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Do you think one should go soon? Do you think it's gotten to the point where they need to reboot this and either change the head coach or the, you know, second best player on the team?
I don't think they should fire the head coach, and I don't think trading Ben Simmons this season is realistic. I think they need sort of a different reboot. I think that the Ben Simmons shooting thing, for some reason, is so large that we almost don't talk about it anymore. Even if we move him to power forward, he still has to shoot
totally
three-pointers. So I think there needs to be a real examination of what the identity of the team should be, who it is based around, because every great team is based around the central best player. And they have tried to hedge with the Sixers, and because of that, the team is based around no one. You know, the Rockets are based around how James Harden plays. The Lakers are based around how LeBron James plays. You know, all of these things, the Sixers are not really based around how Joel Embiid plays. They're not built that way. And I think it makes, it's just a domino effect of how everything else works. So I would consider after the season, if the right deal was there, looking at a Ben Simmons trade, but I don't think it's a, you need to trade Ben Simmons. And I don't think it's a, you need to fire Brett Brown.
So you're saying it's unrealistic to trade him now. Is that because of the contract situation? He's making $8 million now, then it balloons and there's,
well, that, and there's this rule in the NBA where it would count for the Sixers. It would count as next year's salary, but for the other team, it would count as this year's salary. It's very, very hard to trade him this year. It's almost impossible.
So this is yet another playoff run with Ben, no questions asked. Like you feel like there's just no way he's not on the team.
There's
when
no,
we go to the playoffs.
There is no way, and I think there's a significant chance that after this season, if this particular front office was to choose between Embiid and Simmons, I think there is a significant chance they would choose Simmons and not Embiid. If they were
because
to ever to make
health?
That chance. No, they've always, remember, this is the same front office, Elton aside, that was here for Brian Colangelo. It was the same front office that was publicly, you know, denigrating Joel Embiid on Twitter half the time. Like this front office, I believe, is more of a Ben believer than a Joel
but
believer.
But Elton Brand, the reports were he was looking into trading Ben when he first arrived.
I think he looked into everything. He didn't look into trading Joel. I don't think Elton Brand sits up there and makes every decision for the Sixers like a normal, you know, general manager.
Spike,
let's go back a minute. I just want to say everybody's mad because they're not as good as they hope they would be, but that doesn't ever mean that they were ever going to be as good as you thought they were going to be. These problems existed in the preseason. I came on this show and I told you at the end of games, they do not have a guy on the perimeter who can get a shot for himself or someone else in close games against good teams. And here is that problem. I told you, if I told you before the season that the best shooter on the Sixers would be Furkan Korkmaz and the best player to get a shot for himself at the end of a game would be Trey Burke, how good would you say that team was going to be?
Not good enough.
There's no way you would say that team would win a championship. And here we are with the same exact players, the same exact issues. They're starting three power forwards and a center, and we're wondering why it doesn't work at the end of the games. They don't have a player for it to work, and it was always going to be this way. So are we disappointed because we expected a 62-win team and a championship? And yes, but we had no right to expect that.
But, Spike, and I hear you, but if Ben Simmons shot the ball and didn't even shoot it particularly well but shot it good enough that there's some makes the defense honest somewhat, doesn't that solve a lot of problems?
It solves some problem, but it does not solve all the problem because he's not going to shoot off the dribble. He was never going to do that. So if he will stand in the corner and shoot a three-pointer, sure, it does. But we're still asking the same question I just asked. You still have your best shooter on the team is Furkan Korkmaz in a league where you look around and every team, you look at the Raptors, you look at, I'm just trying to think of the teams of the East, you look at the Celtics, you look at the Bucks. They can put five guys on the court who are all 35%+ three-point shooters and all dangerous, and the Sixers cannot do that.
Right.
So you still have that same issue. Would it make it better? It would absolutely make it better. But he's not doing it. You know, he's not. And I
guess I just get confused with when, and I understand what you're saying about roster construction, and a lot of it goes back to Ben. And I do hear you, but if Ben's not tradable this season, and I hear you on the money.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not change coaches and try something different when this clearly isn't working?
Because it's like you have a race car, right? And you know that your engine cannot compete with the other engines with the other car in the race. And you're like, I don't know, change the driver. And I say, Joe, I can put 100 drivers in there, but that engine is not as strong as the other engines in this race. And you're like, I don't know, change the color on the car. And I could do all these dances for you, and they can fire coach after coach after. And we're all saying fire Brett Brown, but nobody has any clue of who they're bringing in.
So what is the solution? I mean, what's your path forward? If you're running the Sixers.
They screwed it up.
So you think they missed their chance to capitalize when they had cap? And they had assets, and they basically missed the mark.
I think after the season, you could do something. But what I'm telling you is this. They made it. They had, when they started making trades last year, 2 years ago, a starting lineup of Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Joel Embiid was the number one rated starting lineup in the entire NBA.
Yep.
We currently have a more expensive starting lineup that performs worse. So when they started making those moves and rushing it, and the big problem here was when the Fultz thing didn't work out, and they were like, oh, no, we got to rush this. So then they make that first trade, which everyone knew wasn't going to work, for Jimmy Butler. Then when they realized the Jimmy Butler trade wasn't going to work, they essentially traded three first-round picks and two second-round picks for the right to pay Tobias Harris $36 million a year. And then in the offseason, even Thibault is a nice player, and I'm glad we have him, but they projected to the entire league that they wanted him, so they had to overpay for him. And then they're left with 1 year left of cap space, and they don't have anybody who wants to come here, so they sign Horford, who is a nice player, but doesn't really fit. I think in the offseason, you seriously have to look at what is the direction of this team, and can we find somebody to take the contract of Horford and Harris, thereby enabling us to create a roster that has a better chance of winning. They could get out of the East this year. I honestly, like, as much as the Bucks destroy everyone in the regular season, their primary playmaker, who is Giannis, still can't really shoot, and their second-best player is Chris Middleton. I think you could beat them. Mm-hmm. But I also think they could lose in a seven-game series to the Heat, the Raptors, the Pacers, or the Celtics. So that's the problem.
It sounds like you have very little hope that Elton can salvage anything prior to the trade deadline on the 6th.
They could make a move. There are guys out there that could help them, whether they trade for Etwan Moore or what's his name on Denver, Malik Beasley, or they trade for Bogdan Bogdanovic in Sacramento. They could get a player that could help them. But if you're doing that, you should really ask yourself, what is this costing me, and is this going to prevent me in the offseason from having something that can really change the outlook of this team? Or do I believe that I'm close enough where a move, you know, a 10% move is going to put me in the championship picture?
Changing the outlook of this team the way that you want to change it, is that just getting rid of everyone except Joel Embiid?
No, if your best player is a center who is in the low post, everyone on the team that plays with him at all times, look, the league has changed a lot in 5 years, but you go back to that Dwight Howard team with the Magic, yep, who reached the finals. It was Dwight Howard, and he was on the court with four guys at all times that could shoot threes.
Yep.
Rashard Lewis, Hadeu Turkoglu, Jameer Nelson, everybody could shoot threes, and it was unguardable because there was so much space around, yeah, this guy who was unguardable. Excuse me, that's what they need to think
so
about.
So it is. I mean, it's changing everything so that you've got four guys different than what we've got to go with Joel to complement what he can do and fill it from the outside.
I think Tobias Harris could be on a team with Joel Embiid.
Okay, so three other guys.
He could play four.
Tobias, yeah, and Joel.
And I even think Josh Richardson could be that, but I think the other two people who are always playing have to. And you look at their bench, the other teams in the East have stronger benches than the Sixers
do. One more thing, and Spike, you bring a lot of logic here to the table. One more thing. Do you think, independent of what you think should happen, do you think there's a chance that the Sixers upper management will fire Brett Brown in the next week or two or month if they continue to struggle?
If they continue to struggle, I think there are enough teams and they play enough home games where the Sixers will stay at a level where they would rather just see the season through. And remember, too, I think a lot of people in the front office are, and this is what front office people do a lot when the team is in this situation, is they are thinking about preserving their jobs. And if I'm going to preserve my job, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say the Brett Brown thing is what I want for the offseason. You know, I'm going to reserve that bullet for then so I get another year on top of it. Brian Colangelo was a master at preserving himself for another year. I think it would have to get pretty bad for the Sixers to fire Brown, because I think they'll win on Wednesday. They're home, you know. Mm-hmm. There are enough
home
games.
Look, they're on pace for 50
teams.
Wins. I mean, that's the other thing. They're actually on pace for 50 wins at the halfway point.
Yeah.
Well, it's too bad that they're not playing better ball. Spike, always great having you in studio. And coughing fit aside.
Sorry, man.
You going to be okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
Just meant some way. See, if Seltzer,
been a rough couple
if
weeks.
Seltzer was a great producer, he'd be on top and have gotten you water by now. But this is what we deal with, Spike. This is what happens in this room. There he is, Spike Eskin, Rich Ricky Sanchez podcast.
Right,
thank you, Spike.
Guys.
All right, 888-729-9494. We will react to everything Spike just said.
That's a
coming
lot
up
of
next.
Strong stuff.
There's
right there.
A lot of stuff in there. We'll react. We'll take your calls as well. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
It's no secret. I'm Philly proud having played here and now working here. I love the home team. I also choose the home team at Parx Casino as my sports book of choice. They're right here in Bucks County, the only sports book run by the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania. Are you ready for the conference matchups this weekend? Tennessee +7.5 against Kansas City. It's the team that wants to run it against the team that just wants to throw all game. San Francisco given 7.5 points to a Green Bay team that's looking pretty good on defense now as well as offense. So many ways to wager. Spreads, props, parlays, teasers, live in-game betting. So many of you great Philly fans have already joined me and the home team, my team at Parx Casino and Sportsbook right here in the Delaware Valley. Download the Parx Casino Sportsbook app now or go to parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code BIRDS and get your first risk-free bet of $500. Your risk-free bet is refunded as account credit. Use the promo code BIRDS. Get your first risk-free bet of $500. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.